the church is fleeing, and it says in the book of Acts that as they spread out, they're taking the gospel with them, and so anyway, they're dispersed. So James says in verse 1 of the book of James that he is writing to Jews in the dispersion. This is Jewish Christians who are out and around. So, yeah, thank you, Mike. Sorry. Who are out in different areas around Jerusalem, around outside Israel, outside of Jerusalem. This is people that James probably had contact with. So do you think James cares about these people?
Yes,
all right? He cares about them. He wants to see them do well. And there seems to be this emphasis in James between two ways. Say it every week. What are the two ways?
Heavenly
and... Yeah, Apani?
Oh,
heavenly and earthly what, you know? Heavenly, good. Heavenly and earthly... Yes, good. Thank you, Grace. Wisdom, okay? And so he says, look, if you're a true believer, heavenly wisdom is going to be shown in how you live, a living faith, okay? And how you respond to life. If God says things and you claim to be a believer, it's going to come out in how you live. And James hits this over and over again, and we've been looking at one overarching theme the past few weeks, which is how to respond to... Good, trials. And we've seen that in trials, we can actually be joyful because we know that God's in control and he is good and he brings hard things into our lives, or allows them at least, because they mature us. And you know that sometimes in a hard time, you're more prone to call out to God and to be dependent on him and to grow in your faith. And so hard things come. We can be joyful. But if we are struggling, if we're not mature as we should be, he says, if you lack, we can ask for. So just say it out loud. You guys always whisper. It's like you can ask for wisdom. You can just say it. You know, it's all right. No, no. I appreciate you, Haley, over and over again. But I hear other people as well, and I want them to speak up as well. So I know you're speaking up, and I appreciate that. Yes, we can ask for wisdom when things are hard, okay? And then we talked about perspective, that we need to have a proper perspective on this present life, that riches and this world's material goods cannot actually satisfy. We need to have a future perspective, that there's more to this life than where we are now. And then last week, kind of wrapping it up today, also kind of has to do with trials. It's kind of its own section. It's kind of even a transition, maybe. But we talked last week about temptation. Remember that? Understanding temptation. And where does temptation actually come from? What is it? Okay, Satan actually is somewhere where it can come from. Keller, sorry, I just blanked. I just looked out and just blanked on your name. Sorry.
Ourselves.
Yeah, within ourselves, from our hearts, which is a really hard truth to wrestle with. And so he says, hey, when trials come, I know that God allows certain things, but temptation to sin does not come from God. It comes from our own hearts, which is why the gospel is so precious, because the gospel changes our very desires towards sin and helps us do what's right, okay? So, here we are now in the book of James, we ended a section on trials, and we're going to look at today a very encouraging passage. And I really love this passage because we have been talking a lot about what God isn't. Okay, in the book of Job, you know, we're talking about trials. In light of trials, God isn't the one who tempts us. In Job, he's still in control. It's been really good to kind of defend God and in the sense of, okay, here's trials and hard things, and here is who God isn't. He's not a mean God. He's not a hateful God. And today we get to really kind of just sit back and rejoice in who God is. Okay, and who God is. Sometimes. Do you know people who are like deep thinkers and always serious and can't seem to lighten up, and they always seem to be on the pessimistic side of things? I feel like that's kind of where we've been. It's like, man, oh, trials, these are hard, and kind of wrestling with this pessimistic side of things and trying, we can trust God. And today we're going to see just some really beautiful things about God, and we can rejoice because of who God is, all right? So if you're taking notes, and by the way, I'm really encouraged by those of you who are taking notes, and those of you who have started, it's encouraging to see you trying to wrestle with these truths. It's awesome, okay? Here's our main point, okay? The good gifts in your life come from a God who never changes, okay? The good gifts in your life come from a God who never changes. And we need to be careful not to be deceived to think otherwise. And so often we spend a lot of time questioning God, like, God, why are things this way and why are you this way? And we've come to the conclusion that trials and hard things don't come to us except through the sovereign hand of God. So God knows. He knows that trials come to us for our heart, that they come, they're hard, and they are maturing us. And if that's true, we can also say the opposite, that good things also come to us through the sovereign hand of God. And he allows good things to bless us, and they come through us come to us through him. Okay, so let's look at James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. James says this, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So there it is, the main point. The good gifts in your life come from a God who never changes. And James is going to develop this point for us, and we're going to look at three categories in which James explains this process of God giving good gifts. We're going to look at the source of good gifts. We're going to look at the nature of the giver. Okay, so that's God. So the source of good gifts, the nature of the giver, and then we're going to kind of look at a specific example, which is the greatest gift ever given. Okay, the greatest gift ever given. So first, let's look at the source of good gifts, and this is in verses 16 through 17. James opens with a warning. He says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Okay, and some would say that he's talking about, don't be deceived about what I just said. And if he's talking about that, what is he look at the passage. What has he just been talking about? What did we talk about last week? Yep, temptations. And what did he say that God is not in that process?
God's not the one that tempts you.
Yeah, he's not the one who brings the temptations and is the one who tempts you specifically to try to get you to mess up or anything like that. So don't be deceived. God is not like that. Or it could be kind of, I don't think it's disconnected from that idea, but I think it's more looking forward. He's saying, don't be deceived about the fact that God actually is not the one who tempts. Instead, he's the one who gives good gifts. He is the one who gives good gifts. So in the previous discussion, this is what God does not do. He does not tempt. He does not try to get you to sin and mess up, like try to trip you up because he's like a mean God. He does not do that. In this discussion about who God is, this is what he does do. Look at verse 17. "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above." So don't be deceived. Don't get that wrong. Hey, don't let other things get in the way. So what are some things that the culture or media or that you've heard about God that might be tempted to deceive you from this idea? Okay, what are some wrong thoughts about God? What might you be tempted to think about him? Sure.
If God is good, how can there be hurricanes?
Yeah, good. Here we are, right? There's two huge hurricanes crashing down on cities and causing a lot of damage. If God is good, how can those exist? It's good. And so you question God's goodness. What else? What are some other things that might deceive you away from this idea?
Kind of goes along that one. If God truly loved me, why would he
see
me go through pain?
Yeah. Why is pain allowed? Good. And we've talked about these things, right? Anything else? Any other input on that? Yeah, Melanie.
God's out to get you. Yeah. He's just waiting for you to fail and then he's going to charge you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, does God have a good purpose in this, or is he just kind of like a, you know, it's a mean guy up in the sky? He's just kind of like throwing out lightning bolts to zap you. You know, is that? Go ahead, Jackson. Yeah. Yeah, and that's actually a common idea. That would be called, deism. Good. Sorry, I was blanking on the word. Deism, this idea that God started everything, and he kind of just spun the earth, and then said, okay, hands off. We'll see how you guys do, you know?
Clockmaker.
Yeah, like a clockmaker, okay? Nina?
That God is love, but that
he's not holy. Yeah, okay, so God is love, but he's also not holy. That's a deceptive idea that God just... He's only love and no justice, which means he doesn't have to punish sin. And so we start making excuses for why we can sin. Okay, so all these are things that ways we may be deceived. Did you have something, Beth?
I was just going to say, God's not fair.
Yeah, that God is not fair. And all these things, I think James knows that we have this tendency to think this way in our hearts. And I think that may even be why he adds this, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. It's this kind of this added weight, not just my brothers, my beloved brothers. Like, come on, guys. Like, don't go this direction. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived towards this wrong thinking. Don't get this wrong. The good gifts in your life, those are from God. They're from above. And notice here that it says, every good thing given and every perfect gift. It's kind of repetitive because good thing given is like a gift. And I'm going to just give you a little bit of a lesson here. These are different words in Greek. And a lot of times in my Bible, in the English Standard Version translation, it says every good gift and every perfect gift. And you're kind of like, it's the same word, gift and gift. But they're actually different words. And the first one, every good thing given, I think it has to do with the process by which God gives. So the actual giving, when he gives. And then the second word, the gift, so the thing given is the process by which he gives. The acts when he gives are good. And then the gift itself is also good. So when he gives, he's good. And the process is good. And the gift itself, the result, is also good. And he calls the gift perfect. Do you remember that we've seen this word before? Does anybody remember where we've seen it? See if I can kind of jog your memory a little bit. Back in the beginning, he says that trials come that you may be, do you remember? Perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And James presents this ideal. Of course, none of us actually are perfect, but he says you should be pushing towards that and trials mature you. And I think here, when it says that God gives perfect gifts, he's contrasting like who God is against who we are. So remember, he says the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. We're not to be a double-minded man who follows sin and follows earthly wisdom, but also tries to follow heavenly wisdom. You can't have it both ways, right? And God's not like that. God doesn't try to have a foot in both camps and be both ways. His gifts that he gave are perfect. They're one-minded. They're complete. And he's not going to waver. Like, you know, maybe I'll give a good gift today. No, when he desires to give good things, he gives them. And he gives them willingly. And this is the God that we have. He's not double-minded, going back and forth. And I want you to think, when you think about gifts, don't just think about, like, Santa Claus and presents. Get beyond presents and gifts. It's God's blessings to you, all right? It's like, I don't know if you've ever read a story where there's like a person who's kind of from a rough background and it seems like things start to go better for him. Maybe he comes into a sum of money and he starts doing better. And this is the success story of him growing and getting better. And at the end of the story, the big reveal is that somebody was actually giving him that money and was like the secret beneficiary behind it all and wanted that person to succeed. And so this older person really helped them. It's like that. God is behind the scenes. He is giving us these good gifts. He is the one behind your blessings. And so in application of this, the source of our good gifts being from above, from God, we're so quick to complain or be anxious about the hard things that are in our lives. And that's not to say that there aren't hard things, but we're quick to really notice those things. Like, ah, this hurts. This is frustrating. This is painful. But I do want to challenge you. Do you ever stop and are you quick to count your blessings? There's an old song, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Okay, we're quick to say, look at all these hard things that God has allowed. But do you ever stop and say, but wait, look at all these good things that God has allowed? And just maybe from my own life, I have a temptation all the time to get discouraged about busyness. You know, finding out that my wife is pregnant is awesome, but there's also a fear of the future. Like, man, I'm going to be a dad. You know, that's scary. And like, this is hard trying to figure out finances and try to figure out the future. And it's really easy to notice all those things. Like, oh, this is hard. This is difficult. But how often am I stopping and thinking to myself and praising God for my wife? For the fact that I'm going to have a baby, you know? For the fact that I have a job here where I get to study God's word. You know, I get to help you guys understand the Bible. What a blessing that I live in a country where I have access to God's word. The fact that you and I are sitting here in this youth group and studying God's word is major. There are places where you can't do that. or at least not without being undercover and being careful about persecution. We don't have to worry about that. And so, what about you? I want to stop for a second and just put it out to you. And the staff can get involved in this too. Just start naming some blessings. What are some good things that God has given you and allowed in your life? All right? Let's just think about that. Go ahead, Haley.
I was just thinking this morning, so the light right next to my house on the Bumwise Canyon is always red when I get to it. And this morning, I saw all green lights coming here.
There you go.
I'm so happy.
Hey, every good gift, every perfect gift. There you go. Look, it's this. I know like that might seem trivial, but the thing is that God is involved in the small things too. Okay, Apani. Yeah, for life in general, that we're allowed to live and breathe. Ashlyn. Yeah, good. Family. Yeah. Yeah, I just think of the fact that you could have been born anywhere. All right, and we're very privileged as Americans to have freedom and to be in this church and that sort of thing. Haley.
Keller Matthew.
Yeah. Good friends. All right. Yeah. Exactly. All right. What else? Keep them coming. Think beyond that. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Joy. Yeah, yeah, amen. Yeah, adoption is such a cool picture of God's adoption. Okay, of bringing us into His family. So awesome, such a gift. Yeah, brother and sister, right? Sometimes we struggle with being thankful for them. Other times we should be thankful. I mean, we should always be thankful. But. Yeah, Eric.
Thankful for Christian, his family.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Eric, able to come and live with the Rojas during a really difficult time in his family. Okay, it's such a blessing. Okay, and that again. So do you see here too? Like in that situation or other situations that have been mentioned, there are hard things about it that we could really, really focus in on. Like, why am I in this situation? Why is this happening? And yet there are also blessings that come alongside it, and God is behind both, in the sense that He knows what's going on. He's in control. And yes, we live in a difficult world. We live in a fallen, sin-cursed world, and it comes from our own sin, okay? And God is there, and He knows. It's like Joseph. Even in the bad things, Joseph said, God meant some of these things for evil. And sorry, that's wrong. That's blasphemous. God did not mean them for evil, okay? His brothers meant them for evil. God meant them for good. Okay? Joseph was a guy who got sold into slavery by his own family, and God ended up using him to bring Egypt out of a famine, okay, through a series of events. And I would just say, even in your small groups today, like take some time to just keep counting your blessings. Okay, there's so much, and those are from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So, like James, I challenge you, don't be deceived. So easy to get deceived and think about the hard things in our lives and only focus on those. God is good, and He gives good gifts. So second, not just the source, okay, the source is God, but second, let's look at the nature of the giver. Okay, the nature of the giver. Look at verse 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. James says that these gifts come from the Father of lights. Okay, so we know that's God, but what do you think it means that God is the Father of lights? Any ideas? Let's interact with that a little bit. Nicole, were you raising a hand or are you just... Oh, it's all right. Yeah.
With light, let's just do everything kind of like over everything and us live,
good. Okay, I think it's a good idea. I think you're on the right track. I think we could go be a little more specific than just light in general. What gives us light? Yeah.
So, like, telling you the light of my life, like, she brings me joy, she brings me happiness, she fulfills me.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So there's, like, a spiritual sense to it. And actually, it says in 1 John that God is light. And so I think that's connected, but I actually think it's a little more specific than that. What physically gives us light on Earth?
Sun.
Sun, good. And?
Fire.
Fire, sure. What else in the sky?
Stars.
Yeah, stars. And moon and sun. So good. I like the interaction. I just want to get you thinking, get your mind flowing. I think what James is talking about here, the consensus, because of the language that he uses, is that he's talking about God as creator. And God is the father of light. He's the creator of the stars, creator of the sun and the moon, the things that, give us light. And think about it this way, all right? The same God who put the stars in the sky, who made them be bearers of light, the same God who created the stars, the sun, and the moon, did that thousands of years ago, gave them light, this eternal, all-powerful God. That is the same God who also cares about you and gives you good gifts. Okay? Think about just the immense chasm between who we are as human beings and who God is, who creates life and light, and that powerful God gives you things and gives you good things. Remember that, right? Remember that this all-powerful God is also personal. Like Jackson said, that there's this temptation to think that God is an impersonal God. He's out there and doesn't care about me. No. He cares about you, and he gives good gifts. And I've spent a lot of time this summer trying to convince you guys that because God is creator, that he is your ruler, and you should submit to him. But now I just want to take a moment and say, he is creator, and he also gives you good gifts, okay? He is creator, and he gives good gifts. And we all have those situations at maybe Christmas time or a birthday where a younger sibling or an older grandmother gives a gift, right? And it's like, thanks, socks, you know? Or your little brother, like really pours a lot of time into, like, they work really hard to give you a good gift, but it's kind of the thought that counts versus the actual gift, right? It's like, you're really thankful for the thought, but it's not necessarily, like, the thing that you wanted, okay? God is not like that, okay? The gift that he gives is good. Right? And he's not some little brother trying to please you. He's the God who knows what you need, and he gives gifts like that. And get this, okay? It says that he's the father of lights with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Okay, variation or shifting shadow has that idea of changeability. Okay, remember the double-minded man, the doubter, is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed. Again, God is not like that. He knows what he's doing. He can't change his mind because he's perfect. And he uses these terms, this variation or shifting shadow. These are words that have been used in Greek to discuss astronomy. So we're back to the stars in the sky and the planets. And just think of it this way. Nature is changing in the sense that, you know, the moon goes through waxing and waning. The constellations, even though it's the earth that's turning, you see the stars moving, right? The sun comes up, then the moon, then the sun, then the moon. You know, dark light. God is not like that. He has no shifting shadow, no variation. And that is an encouragement when you think about his giving characteristics. It's not like today he's going to give you a good gift and then tomorrow, I'm not quite in the same mood. So, I'm going to be a mean God and give you trials. Okay, God is focused at loving you and blessing you. As believers, okay? This is known in theology. I'm going to teach you a big word today, okay? So if you see it, you'll know it. This is known as repeat after me, immutability. Okay, immutability. It means unchangingness, okay? This is the immutability of God. He does not change. We change, okay? We're one day we're this way. I like nachos today, and tomorrow I like corn dogs, that sort of thing, okay? But even bigger things, one day I'm best friends with this person. The next day I hate them because we're so changing and sinful. God is not like that. And so in application, guys, you can have immense confidence when you step outside today. If you're a believer, then you know that God is for you. He wants to bless you. He wants relationship with you. And like I said, of course, we live in a frustrating, fallen world that's constantly changing around us. And so sometimes our environment's easy to deal with, and sometimes it's really difficult. But those things do not surprise God. And he has not changed. From the minute that he put stars in the sky and made a good creation before sin came into it, he has not changed from that moment. That same God who put the stars in the sky also gives you good gifts. And so as you count your blessing, blessings, be confident that God gives you what is needed when it is needed, and he knows how to give good gifts, okay? And again, the challenge, don't be deceived. The good gifts in your life come from God. So one final thing, we've looked at the source, which is God. We've seen his nature, his immutability, his unchangingness. And now we're going to just look briefly at the greatest gift of all in verse 18, the greatest gift of all. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. So we've been talking about God as the Father of lights. He creates stars, he creates planets, creates the lights. And some people think that this verse is still talking about God's creation. So God's good to give us human life. He brought us forth as creation, which is true, and that is a gift. But I do think that I agree with most people who believe that this verse is talking about salvation, that by the word of truth, God brought us forth in salvation. So get this. It says that in the exercise of his will. It's like, what is he talking about? The exercise of his will. Basically, it's something that God chose. Okay? God chose. So if you're a believer here, do you realize that God exercised his will? He chose. He decided to save you. Okay? God decided to save you. Do you realize the implications of verses that say that salvation is not by your works? When it says that you can't be good enough to earn salvation, but it's entirely God's grace. What that means is that God cared about you, and God chose to save you. And that's huge. Okay, go ahead.
You said God cared about you, but are you saying like he doesn't care about the others that he didn't save?
So again, and this has been brought up a couple times, that is a difficult conversation to try to wrestle through with our minds. I do know that the Old Testament talks about the wicked, and it says that God does not rejoice in punishing the wicked, okay? But there are two categories of God's justice and God's love, and both show his glory. And so there's a different kind of love and care that God shows to those who are saved in eternity, and it's a different kind of love and desire that people would be saved who aren't saved. And how God's sovereignty works in those things is a very difficult issue, for sure, which is why I would just say, if you're not a believer, I mean, the best way to wrestle with those things is to turn to Christ, okay, and to trust God and to be saved. And again, that opens a whole can of worms. How does God's sovereignty work in those things? And I've been trying to, throughout the summer, say that I don't know entirely exactly how it works, but what I do know is that God is good and glorified in those things. And so... bringing it back to the idea of salvation is that God did not have to save, and that he saves anyone is good, okay? And so to be a believer sitting here today studying the word is a huge deal. God did not have to save you, and yet he does, okay? And so this idea of being brought forth has been used earlier, talking about temptation, that sin brings forth death, okay? So our sin brings forth death. But God brings us forth into salvation, okay? God brings us forth into salvation. And I think we should take great comfort that there was a time in which God allowed you to understand the message, okay? If you've put your faith in Christ, he's opened your eyes. And some of you may still need to have your eyes open. Maybe some of you have not turned to Christ and put your faith in him. And I would say pray to God to open your eyes, and he will. Okay, he will. He will give you faith in the message of salvation. And what he says is that those who are saved, it says, verse 18, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Okay, it's the message. Some will say it's the gospel. Obviously, it's the gospel. Big picture. And it says so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Okay, what is this first fruits? Well, in the Old Testament, first fruits is this idea of when the Jews had a harvest, they would give the first fruits of their crops, the first parts of their crops to God, and dedicate them to him, all right? It was given to him. And in the New Testament, Paul talks about believers, converts, being the first fruits of a region. So we say, hey, this guy got saved. He was the first fruits of Asia, okay? He's the first converts, with the idea that there's more to come. And I think here, there's a couple possibilities. James might be talking about the Jewish believers, right? They're the first fruits of Christianity because it started in Judaism, and when Christ died, many of the Jews were the first ones to put their faith in Christ. And then I also think that James may be implying, and whether he is or not, there's huge application here, that we, as believers, are first fruits of a new creation. Okay, so there's a day when God will make everything right. And our salvation is just a little taste of that. That we're being changed to be a new creation. And one day, everything you see around here will also be new. Okay, he will make everything right. No sin, no sadness, no frustration, no death. And if you're a believer, you have so much to look forward to. And what a great gift it is that God is making all things new. And that he is a giving God. And we just sang about that, right, a couple minutes ago. Amazing love. How can it be that God, the King, the Creator, would die for me? All right? So the greatest gift that we can have is salvation through Christ. Freedom from bondage to sin. Hey, forgiveness of your past and anything you will do. Are you thankful for this? Are you thankful for God's work in your life? Do you realize that there's more to this life than just this? And that the passing darkness of this life is just not infinite. Eternity is good. And so that kind of leaves us with just two things, all right? If you've never put your faith in Christ, I want to warn you that there's judgment, and I challenge you not to let today go by without turning to faith in Christ. And if you are a believer, which I hope that many or most are, God is a giving God. And don't let anyone deceive you about his good gifts. Rejoice in the blessings that we were naming. Name more. Realize what he is doing in his unchanging character, his immutability, and give him glory. Okay? Let's pray. God, thank you for this passage. Thank you for the book of James. And we trust you that you are giving many good things. And we are prone to see the hard things. And so help us to have a positive outlook on life, that you are giving so many blessings. You've blessed us here to be able to study your word. And the best gift of all is salvation. And so we praise you for Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. So small groups, get with your leaders. And if you don't know...